how beautiful are the feet of them to think that they take their life and they take their time to go into all the world and tell the people about this wonderful, lovely Jesus and this wonderful, lovely Savior. What would there be if these men did not go forth? Whereas the Bible said, seeing that they wait at the altars of God, they should be partakers with the altar to render unto them all of their needs, honor as to whom honor, and duty as to whom duty, and whatever it might be. And sister, would be good if you would look through eyes that are different, and not as to Brother Pike esteeming himself. You are a very wonderful person, but you are very intellectual, reasoning in your mind, and it's so sensitive when the precious Holy Spirit is moving that why don't you do a renovation job, and then you could really be a wonderful person. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then I'm speaking in the behalf of others, and Paul said not that any of these things should be done unto me. The Bible said, and my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory, which he hath abundantly done. For Jesus said, I come as the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. I remind you again, the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. So then it's so wonderful to be a Christian. Let's give him another hand. I say so often, the Bible said, clap your hands, all you people, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right, we love you. We're not scolding you. The Bible said just exhort each other the more you see the day approaching, and I see it coming in leaps and bounds. Appreciate so much people coming from different towns and different states. A lot of times out of foreign countries to be here with us at the gathering of camp meeting. And we're looking forward to being with you year after year as the Lord sees fit. And in maybe protracted meetings and some other things. As people ask me, you know, to remarry them, and we have had on certain occasions where we call people together and remarry them, and there's people that want to be baptized, and then there are people that want to eat, have dinner, and then there are people that they want to partake of the Lord's Supper, and then there's people that just love to fast and pray, and people that would love to hear the gospel, and such a variety as to what people would like to have. You know, we just have to try to mix a little of all of it. And some of the things are doctrinally necessitated to your welfare and to your salvation. This, of course, we have to. You know, if I had about 3 hours to talk to you, and about 4 hours to preach to you, and about 3 or 4 more hours to do what needs to be done, well, we could get it done, at least some of it. But since we don't have that kind of time, we just have to work with whatever allotted time that your mind will give to us. And some folks are short-minded, you know. They got 15 or 20 minutes. Others got 45 minutes, some couple hours. And whatever it might be. But there is a possibility that tonight, the way things are moving, that we'll probably get to the baptizing. There's some that needs to be baptized, and they keep reminding us of this, and I'd like to be able to accommodate them according to their salvation. Right now, I've got about, I don't know how many things on my mind that I'd love to say, and if I say them, I probably won't even get to preach, and sometimes they're necessary for your edification, not as to your hurt. But being baptized in water is necessary, folks. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, don't that mean by the Spirit? Indeed, it is by the Spirit, that it is by the Spirit that you're baptized as a member of the body into this one great body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as members in particular, to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it's by the Spirit that you become a part of the body, because the body without the Spirit is dead. If you don't have his Spirit, you couldn't be part of his body. Just like if your arm doesn't have your Spirit, they'll have to cut it off. It'll rot off. It can't be part of the body. And that's why it's so necessary as to the amputation when it comes to what the Bible said, purge out the old leaven, be a new lump, or that is to cut the tree off that's rotten, lest it kill the life of the whole tree, or that is to say the Spirit of God would have to depart from the whole body, because when a member suffer, they all suffer. Therefore, you cannot allow any such thing as a spot or a blemish to be in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Spirit, which is the life, will leave the body. But anyway, we're baptized as to for the remission of sins, and that in the name of Jesus. As a fellow said one time, well, it's not really necessary to call any name over you when you're baptized. Well, great mighty man, a great mighty following, and he meant well, and I believe he was a fine man, but he was mistaken right there. I do believe this, that it is necessary that you be baptized in the name of Jesus, which he believed that. I ought to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And it is the act as to be baptized into Christ Jesus, as many have been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. And the name of the Lord, as I see it, to be called, the Bible said, in the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous flee into it as to the name, and they are saved. And the Bible said, and his name shall be called. And I believe that we should call it. It shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord Jesus, and confession unto salvation is made with the lips, or that a man speaketh cometh from his heart, and Christ is the high priest of our confession. Therefore we should confess Jesus. And inasmuch as there's none other name given unto heaven whereby men can have remission of sin, and there's remission of sin in none other name, it is in the name. And the ministry is sent to remit sin or to retain sin, for the Bible said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. If remission is then in his name, and I'm to do the baptizing, and Jesus himself commissioned us that we should baptize, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, preach the gospel. Somebody would say, well, it's just necessary to preach the gospel. The Bible said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is said, Paul, go down to the street called Straight, find one that'll tell you all about it. Paul went down and he said, Paul, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. And the way I understand it is, if I am to baptize, then I must baptize in the wonderful name of Jesus. Wonderful name of Jesus, for the Bible said his name shall be called Jesus, and beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission shall be taught in his name. And if remission is in his name and I'm to baptize for remission, then I need to make known the name. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is an application as to an expression. Jesus himself always protected God the great eternal spirit by never personifying things as to bring it to a human image. And he said, it's not I that doeth the work, but the Father, so that we would never look toward a fleshly image. I wish we had time to preach to you. I always say that. That's so wonderful if we would just have the time. But anyway, in that you're born as to the beast and come forth in the beast image, and so came he forth as in that image to redeem you from that from which you have fallen. And in that he did that, then the Bible said concerning you and I, after our death as to Calvary, to recognize says to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus to the things of the world, into the flesh, and to sin, and to the lot. Then that we're told not to know any man after the flesh, but after the spirit. And the last man, Adam, being made a quickening spirit, as to being members of the bone and body in particular, then that what does that make us but what he is, as he is, so are we in him. We're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus unto good works, and we're complete in him. So, when we say this, then we understand why that the Heavenly Father said not to know anybody after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If I know you after the flesh, I'm going to know you after your mistakes and your sins and your shortcomings. And I'm going to be a gossip and a backbiter and a fault finder. And I'll spend my days that way and wind up sick and half dying or dead or whatever. Or God destroying me because of my loose tongue. As has been said in the past, that some folks' tongues tied in the middle and cut loose on both ends. But the Bible speaks of the tongue as being an unruly member. And the Bible said it is set on fire by the course of hell. No man's ever been able to tame it, but he that can control the tongue, or bridle the tongue, the same is a perfect man. But anyway, getting back to the original theme of our thought here, that we know then why that the Lord said, that is, the Heavenly Father spoke to us, saying, we have known Jesus after the flesh. Paul teaches this. But from henceforth, we know him no more after the flesh. We don't know him as the beast or the image or as the serpent anymore. Like another serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. We don't know him like that anymore. We know him as the great quickening spirit, as the almighty God himself. So we see a great world of difference, a great vast difference of this wonderful thing that God has told us and the thing that God is trying to do for us. So when we are baptized, we're baptized for the dead, and we are planting the bodily image of the old beast. And we are rending the veil in twain as to the body and the spirit. The Bible said, and the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. And as I say again, casting pearls before swine, Satan will turn and rend you after he's trampled them under the feet. Somebody that just doesn't have any discretion toward God. And in this, Jesus was mutilated from the top to the bottom, as to the head, the hands, and whatever might be. See, but making in himself twain is to say two, that is to body and spirit, Lord and Christ. Then he separated the body from the spirit of the Lord, from the Christ, that your body might be by his body dead at Calvary, having become your sin, but you might become his righteous body, as to being delivered for your offenses and then raised again as to your new body for the resurrection, as to justification. So I said that then again to make a point here, and that is to say that we're baptized for the dead. And Paul said the body of sin is dead. It is dead, the body, because of sin. And the image of iniquity is thus gone, and the spirit went back to God who gave it. So your body, as to the veil, you've been rent in twain, as to two, by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there the spirit has gone back to God who gave it, having been translated as to your angelic inner man, having been translated into the wonderful spirit of Christ, and your body being given as to the wrath of God through Calvary. And God pacified his wrath as against sin and the old beast image and the bastard child image, to ever put it away, to fold it up and to put it away, to where he would never be angry at it again, thus fulfilling the law as to his justice and righteousness as to what the old beast had transgressed. And that is to say, the mind of Satan in that beast. And now we have the mind of Christ. And now we are a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are now new, and we're now in the new, wonderful world of God, carrying the name of Jesus as to his body and identity. Ours, as to the rejected, is now dead, put away, and we remember that no more. And that's why we bring it out so emphatically, that under the old covenant, the coming thereunto could never be made perfect by the offering up of the blood of bulls and goats. It only pertained to the fact that they were at that time beast, and that was sufficient. As to the beast, even the sanctifying, as to the ashes of the red heifer, as to the kalah paradamah. And then when it come over to the New Testament, Paul says, as I remind you once again, that if the sprinkling of the ashes of the red heifer can sanctify unto the sanctifying of a body, then, as to say, application to the beast, how much more can the blood of the Lord Jesus purge our conscience from dead works unto a living God, having entered into the very holiest of holies himself, giving himself for us. Now we are free from sin. Where these things are, there's no more conscience of sin. Whereas in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, the Bible teaches that God was reminded regular of sins, and in every offering as to year by year, sin was brought back to his memory, and he didn't like that, because it would be like a man that had married a woman that was not the right kind of woman. And if that's all she ever talked about, and that's all she ever thought about, and that's all he could ever think about, he'd get to where he despised her and hated her. But if she could put that old wretched body away and get rid of that old harlot thing, and then be renewed and become a pure, clean, upright, lovable person that just desired her husband with all of her heart, to look to him and to love him, then he could forget the past. So this is what God has done for you, beloved friend. A lot of explanation it would take there. Father, we should love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, proving that we are the new, How never a variation to look back into our old mind of that corruption, hating our lives as to that of the past. The Bible said, unless you come to me and hate your life, you cannot be my disciple. Hating that thing to never look back, to never revel in it, never think on it, never, never, never. As a woman that comes to a man, she should never look back in her past at her girlhood or her childhood other than in a pure memory as to whatever it would be at any time of the blotches and ugliness of her life or any affection or anything else that ever was in her whole life. She should be ashamed of it, turn away from it, curse it in her mind, and look to her husband, because she hath always, even before she came into the world, as to the wonderful foreknowledge of God, been bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And anything she'd done outside of that was an act of harlotry. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so then the mystery concerning Christ and the church, thus it is, we are his members and he is our head. So the mind of that head should be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And we being made in that bodily image should not think it robbery to be equal with God. For we are his very body, bone and flesh. And when we're baptized to come forth in the justified image as to that wonderful restoration of the holy image of God that was lost in the garden through the fall of Adam, when that illumination as to sonship image was lost. That sonship image, Christ, he came back. And man being made in that wonderful image from the beginning, now he hath entered into our heart, and he is waiting now to be made manifest in our mortal genes as to our surrender according to our measure, whatever it might be, and that Adam lost it because it was a reflection as to illumination. But folks, with us, it's not an illumination, but it is an inbred life. We are born of that spirit, and it is Christ being formed in us. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And many, many things we'd like to say, many, many things we'd like to say as to detail and explanation, but seeing that people are dull of hearing, it makes it very difficult for us to do it. Or our time is so limited that people being used to little sermonettes that they don't understand that it takes a long time for God to express himself. As to say, about 80 days to Moses, and it takes a few days for you. And after Paul, as I say, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, he was all of his life as to the time of coming to understanding, studying, and then when he come to God, he still had to go several years to have all that revelated, go away into the Arabian desert. Then he was a fit subject for the ministry. So that makes us realize that we don't just jump up overnight being a novice and become the minister of Christ. Let's read from St. Luke chapter 12. Let's read from verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, and of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of them, they will ask the more. He says in the 31st verse, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thieves approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourself like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Okay, Jesus here expounding some things on the kingdom. He was always speaking of the kingdom. And a lot of times we wonder why that the Lord emphasized the kingdom. Why did he always talk about the kingdom? You know, it's strange, but you don't hear a lot of preachers today talk about the kingdom as to such in giving reference as to term kingdom. But they do preach about the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. But Jesus, he used a vocabulary expression as to term or terminology kingdom. And the reason for this is because there had never been the kingdom of God in the earth. There had been the kingdom of David as to the kingdom of God through man as to, say, the reign of King Solomon, King David. But as to God's kingdom itself coming to the earth, there had never been such. And because of this, it caused the Jewish people not to receive the kingdom of God, not to recognize the kingdom of God, not to know the kingdom of God. And this, of course, was the blindness in part as to the veil over their face as to intellectual concept of God according to the ritualistics and the patterns that was given Moses, showing him these things in the mount as to that veil that was over his face that stood between him and the children of Israel, or the Shekinah of the illumination of his face and the children of Israel, saying that they could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, in that God changed that at Calvary. As to the new covenant, finding fault with the old, therefore he changed it, and today we have the new. When we say the new, again, this has to do with the supper. For as to the supper, having to do with this, he said in to the Last Supper, he said, take and drink of this cup, for this is my blood in the New Testament, which is for the remission of sin. Take of my body, and he broke the bread and said, this is my broken body, which has been broken for you. All right, so then Jesus preached the kingdom. He talked about this wonderful kingdom. John said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For when the minister is preaching, it is not him speaking, but the Spirit within him, God within his temple, and all the world keep silent. And so then they shall all be taught of God. And Jesus, knowing that within him that he was the veil and the housing of the fullness of Almighty God as to the understanding and the knowledge and the greatness of that wisdom, that wonderful glory in Shekinah being made heir to it alone. So in this, he taught the kingdom. And then we hear the wonderful sayings, the law and the prophets were unto John. Since then, the kingdom hath been preached. The law and the prophets were until John. Now, I've said this numbers of times, and I know that some of you hear and some of you don't hear, having ears you hear, but not ears as to the ears of understanding as to the church. And you hear and you get an intellectual concept of it. But I say this again to you. A lot of people which are heretics, that is after the law and the keeping of commandments, that really don't understand. And we can allow for the Jews to the extent they were blinded in part. But see, there are people in the world today that are Gentile people that try to teach this as to a justification by the law. Folks, the Bible said, by the law shall no flesh be justified. The Lord Jesus kept every jot and tittle of it. Paul the Apostle said, as touching the law, I'm blameless. But neither Paul nor Jesus could be justified by the law Paul, being blameless, as to be Christ, as to come as it was with Jesus, as to Jesus to the Gentiles, or the Christ to the Gentiles. See, so we see that by the law, no flesh can be justified. And people that do that as to a teaching are heretics. And the Bible said, being heretics, after the first and second admonition, just reject them. Or that is, admonish them once to twice as to tell them the truth. And then if they don't receive the admonition, then leave off with them because they're heretics. See, all right, now, when we speak of the law, Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. Because there's no salvation except through the law. See, because we know that the law is spiritual. It is not carnal. It is the measurements of the great God of Spirit. And it is the characteristic of Almighty God. And it is that God desired, which is right, that men have transgressed. See, I know the Jews accredited to themselves that they were the royal seed and that they kept the law. But Paul, who kept it after the strictest sect, as to the Benjamite, he reproved them. He said, you have the law and none of you keep it. And said, because the law is transgressed, as to you saying that you are those that keep it, you kill the prophets, the wise men, whatever, he said, and it causes the name of the Lord to be blasphemed among the Gentiles because of your religious activities, which is not at all the word of God, according to what Moses gave you, but rather the tradition of the elders. And then, of course, he reproved them by bringing the scripture and showed just exactly where the transgression was, which, of course, men like Brother Thomas, that's been indoctrinated for years, has preached the gospel, he could probably reprove us in many ways as to tell us as a people of the tradition of the elders that has been incorporated into the lives of people as to their religious ritualistics and the denominational ways of life, as to say the infiltration, not teaching the word of God, but teaching, as Jesus said, for the word of God, the commandments of men. As the Bible said, touch not, taste not, handle not, that which is to be a perishing with the using after the doctrines and commandments of men. But anyway, ask for the old paths and walk therein, and with the elders, the Bible said, of the ancient, there is wisdom. So, taking the oversight over the church, over which God hath made us overseers, all the precious Holy Ghost hath made us the oversight. Then we look back and we see that Jesus preached the kingdom. Philip preached the kingdom. Peter preached the kingdom. And then we were to go into all the world and preach that the law and the prophets didn't come any farther than Calvary. And the law and the prophets until John. And since that time, the kingdom. And so then, if the law and the prophets were until John, Jesus, then we understand what he meant when he said, think not that I have come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill the law. For he said, not one jot nor tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And so then he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of it in his lifetime in our behalf. They could not put one finger on him as to say that he did not do it. They said at the end, I find no fault in this just man, though many accuse him. When the law was perfectly fulfilled as to the satisfaction of God, then God folded it up by the body of Jesus and laid it away. See, and Jesus said, Father, it is finished. I come to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me in the book. See, offerings and sacrifices as to that of animals, he said, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. It pleased God to bruise him for our sake. See, and a body thou hast prepared me, for as it is written of me, O God, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will. Or the volume of the book as to the scrolls of the Old Testament prophesied of this. And Jesus said to the Jews, you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. You think you have eternal life in the scriptures. Go back and search them, the scribes, the scriptures. Go back and search the old scrolls. For it is in these that you confident yourself, that your faith resteth within those scribes, or as we would say, as it is called today among the Jews, their book or their Bible. See, That is to say, they still rest within that because they intellectually conceive of that and they don't know anything else because of us. But see, the thing is, the time is coming when God is going to change that and take the veil away, and they're going to see that Jesus is their Messiah. So with today that are not within the veil having been rent at Court Calvary, you as a spiritual being, you're not in the veil of the body anymore. Ye are not in the flesh. You're not within the veil. Your temple as to the body has been rent in twain. And now the light so shineth as to the day star dawning within your heart that all the world may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because ye are the spiritual Christ made manifest in many members. And so then we are buried with him in baptism, that we may be resurrected with him in the newness of life, that it be not us live, but him that liveth. The life that we now live, we live by the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Though we have trial after trial, and many are the afflictions of the righteous, God delivereth us out of them all. And though we have all kind of problems as to our often infirmities, Paul said, yet God healeth us, for I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases, and I am the Lord God that forgiveth all of your iniquities. So we can truthfully say as to a present help, God is our help in the time of need. Jesus folding up the law because he fulfilled the law. The law passed away. The prophets passed away. Why? Because he fulfilled the prophets too. He was the prophet like unto Moses, the one that was faithful in all of his house. So then that was the capstone that would come, as the prophet said, crying, grace, grace, grace. So he fulfilled it. Now I know that there is, as to the Revelation, 7 years that are yet to come. And I know a lot of times Bible scholars get all misconstrued because they don't understand. And they take the people of today that are spiritual children of God, that are the spiritual Jew. See, and they make an application as to the teachings of the tribulation period, or the time of Jacob's problems and troubles, or the last week of Daniel, the 7 years that is to be joined to the 483 years that stopped at Calvary when Messiah was cut off. I remind you one more time in simplicity this morning, in a slow way, to where you can conceive of what I'm saying, that in the days of Daniel, when he sought the Lord, the angel came to him and said, oh, beloved man of God, being a Jewish person, he said, I want to know what is going to befall my people in the latter days. And he knew that for 70 years they were to be in Babylon, being a boy when they took him down there, when the kingdom was overthrown. We have this on tape somewhere where it gives the dates and whatever as to the overthrowing and the time of the Gentiles starting and whatever. And as to the crown leaving Judah, going down into Babylon to where the man was called the servant of God. And as to passing over as to seven times and leaving the stump for the tree to grow back. Some teachings here as to the beast and then being brought back to the origin of his understanding. But anyway, in this, see, we see Daniel, and Daniel knows that the end of the 70 years are just about there. So he don't know what to do. And he prays because he's concerned. And he says, now what is going to happen to the Jewish people in the latter end? So the angel come to him and said, Daniel, O thou beloved man of God, and even from the first day that you prayed, we have heard, though the prince of Persia withstood us for a certain length of time, yet we heard, having to go back, get a reinforcement to come and to break through that second realm. Him that God dealing from the third heaven down to the earth, Satan setting up his kingdom in the second heaven between heaven and earth, intercepted, as we would say, as to the ruler of Persia. Well, that is to say, Satan, as we would understand it, Satan giving a charge to some great angelic being, like Beelzebub or whoever it might be, like on the other side as to God, it would be Michael and Gabriel, as to Gabriel a messenger and Michael a warrior. And this great angel ruling over a providence like Persia. And so then when Daniel down here in this particular place praying, began to bombard heaven. See, there was no way to get to Daniel except by one means. As to God having given us this liberation from captivity and problems
through Christ Jesus before the world ever was. And the Bible said this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, preached down through the church ages, as to your comprehending the heights and depth and width and length of this great wonderful mind of God, as to this light that shined in a dark place. So then in seeing this, Daniel had a right. So he called on the name of the Lord as to what he understood in that day. See, and as God hearing, he sent the deliverers down. That is to say, the messenger of that day, the Bible said he sent his angel to them at a certain time. And here come the angel, but he couldn't get through. The angels withstood angels, and as to strength of angels that wrestled and they fought. See, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against my body. My body is the temple of God. God made that. But I'm wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is, in spiritual dominions of principalities. I'm wrestling against kingdoms and principalities and those that are great and mighty as angelic forces, because all of this is a supernatural thing. See, and you're just dwelling as a supernatural person, an angelic being in a little house of clay. And Peter said, if I put off this house, I got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That is to say, not this old tabernacle in the wilderness of the intellectual wilderness, wondering, but I have one as to the mind of Christ, which is the body of Christ, which is a body in heaven, in that he dwells in heaven, and so are we, the dwellers of heaven, when we are born again. All right, so then we see that the thing was that when the angel came down, then the prince of Persia intercepted. The angelic forces intercepted. But the angels returned for reinforcement, came back, and with great, great war and courage, they overthrew and they came through, just like it is recorded in Revelation 12 when the Bible said Michael and his angels fought and Lucifer and his angels fought, and there was war in the spirit. There was war in heaven. And the Lucifer that we speak of, the devil, the old serpent, could not prevail, but Michael and his mighty forces to the angelic being and those wonderful, wonderful people of glory that will come back with him on the white horse to be manifest, they warred as to the angelic forces, and these that in heaven were all as the angels. Then Lucifer was cast out, even Satan, the dragon, that old dragon. He was cast out into the earth. That is to say, even in Daniel's day, and he broke through. And they come to Daniel and said, oh, thou beloved man of God. Because Daniel had fasted about 21 days, said, I was mourning about 21 days. And he just kept on, and he wouldn't give up. And the angels told him, you know, Daniel, it wasn't necessary. They could have said that you do this for us to hear you. We heard you the first day. See, folks, God hears us. We don't have to fast. We don't have to pray. God hears us because of Christ Jesus. See, he has done all of that for us. We are his darling babies, his darling children, his little ones. See, and God hears us. The Bible said his ears are ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. But the thing is, as the prince of Persia withstood in that day, Paul said, even in his day, I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me. See, and Satan is still hindering, though he is a defeated foe by Calvary. He is defeated, whereas the Bible said, and Jesus Christ made an open show of powers and of kingdoms, and just made an open show of the thing. See, at Calvary, he triumphed over them, the Bible said, and just made Satan and all of his kingdom and all of that he could do just an open show as to be nothing. And today we are the great, wonderful sons of God. The government is upon our shoulder. We are the body of Christ, members in particular, as to the benefits of what he did, so his body receives this. For the things of God knoweth nothing except the body of Christ, and will not come to the things of men. So that is to the spirit of man. So we know then that Christ is on our side. Therefore we should take courage, like Daniel, and not give up. Keep our faith in there. Stay in there with that thing. Like a soldier on the battlefield, you know, he gets nervous, he gets frustrated, he's in the foxhole, and he thinks, my God, they're going to blow my brains out. And he looks back this way and thinks, I better get out of here. And he looks back there, and the guns are trained on him because his comrades are back there, and they're shooting. And he can't go that way, and he can't go this way because the guns are trained on him from the enemy. And all around him, his comrades or enemy, he can't do anything except get a hold of himself and say, it's either kill or be killed. I got to stay like a man. I got to fight it. Because it's death for sure if I throw up my hand. You understand what I'm saying? You're in the midst of the battle. The Bible said, endure hardness like a good soldier. Go on and fight the good battle of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Endure like a good soldier. Stay with it and fight for Christ Jesus. Because He will not fail you. He will not fail you. The Bible said, be of a good courage. He will not fail you. All right, so we realize then that the victory is won through Calvary. God has broke through now. See, what we've got to do is get our minds right, get our thinking right. Hear the preacher. He's there to program our mind as to the wonderful benefits of God. Deliverance has come. The wonderful deliverance of God at last has come. And Jesus said, and He was anointed of God, going about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, manifested to destroy the works of the devil, saying that I have destroyed him that hath power over death. And so then now God is with us. Who can be against us? Now God is within us as to Christ, the great Holy Ghost, receiving power at the infilling. Now we have Christ, which is power. As to the one that defeated Satan, we have now Him that is power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing can by any means hurt us. We are now children of light on the inside, having been delivered from the kingdom of darkness as to the intellectual faltering way of the old tree of knowledge, now in the mind of Christ, and we are the deliverers to all the world, even the body of the Lord Jesus and the world, the creatures, everything is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is, they that are spiritual sons on the inside to be made manifest in their mortal genes. The Bible said in this life being made manifest in our mortal body. All right, the world can see your light and all of the Gentiles will come to the shining. So the Lord has broken through. But we have need that after we've done the will of God, that we be patient to receive the things of God. For the Bible teaches that this is the way we receive these things, that we should not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And if the kingdom is now here, the law and the prophets till John, now it's folded up as to the law, laid away, and Paul said we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, then we are made to know that we are living in the kingdom age now. It's a different age altogether. See, and the 483 as to the 490 years determined upon the people as to bring the end of the world. 483 years, and then after that the Messiah was cut off, the door was open in heaven, as the seven was separated from the 490 as to leave 483 to Calvary, and seven over here at the end of the world when the Jews come back in, as to that perspective that men erringly teach as to make application to the church, putting the church through the tribulation and teaching them these things as to what the tribulation holds, folks, which isn't for us at all. Our tribulation is, as I say, under chapter 7. And in chapter 7, then we're up and in glory and have gone through great tribulation. Why then should God put us through tribulation again? See, the Jews, they are to go through tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble. When we realize this, and I'm going to close in just a few minutes because I talked quite a bit already. See, then we're made to know that this is the kingdom age. Now, the law and the prophets until John. When the kingdom come, the Jews did not receive the kingdom because they were not spiritual. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. Jesus said, this is a different hour, woman. You don't worship in this mountain. Said, now the Spirit has come. Jesus, even the second man, the quickening Spirit. See, now's the time to worship God in spirit and in truth. And Paul, who got the revelation, said, the God whom I serve with my spirit and with my mind, even in the spirit of holiness, even the invisible God. So, now then, not to know anybody after the flesh, but after the spirit. I would that you were spiritual. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. For this great, wonderful thing as to what God would say to us, or being the quickening spirit would reveal to us as to Christ within you, that hope of glory in that He alone was made heir to the glory. Now, so that means that the kingdom was to be preached and an entrance into the kingdom abundantly given to you as all things that pertain unto life, being the Prince of life, coming that you might have life, and that more abundant in that Christ in you would be that overflowing, wonderful life. See, that is to say, the name Jesus as the door, because Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the way. No man can come to the Father except by me. If you climb up any other way, to even to get to this supper, as being religious or just being in the grace of God, as to the blood, being on the seat of atonement, having that opportunity of grace, and that everybody has to have that, so that God can give that to the world, to take away the sins of the world, to give them that are elect, that's mixed among those people, a chance to come out and be a separate people, to be sealed in the Spirit for the change unto the day of the redemption, as to the change of the body, restoring of all things. See, that grace is there. And if you come into this as a reflection, as a light, beholding yourself as in the mirror, seeing yourself as to being undone, and then going your way and forgetting what manner of man you are, see, then you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and now you're condemned because you didn't go on in. And how can you serve God without the Spirit? See, how can I fulfill the law, or the law be fulfilled in me as to the righteousness of the law by which I'm saved, unless I have the Spirit of the law, which is Christ, as to the fulfillment of it? In the beginning was the Word was God, that is, the Word is Spirit. Not serving now under the oldness of the letter, as to the law of the letter, as to the law that killeth because of sin and transgression, but rather serving in the newness of Spirit, as to Christ within you, that hope of glory, by the grace of God, as to the law of liberty on the inside. Whereas God has called us unto the law of liberty, therefore continue steadfast in this law of liberty. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, as to the beggarly elements of this world, as to the child of bondage, or under the yoke, as to trying to keep the law, because we are saved without the deeds of the law, because the Bible said they that have the law do not keep it. And we have not the law as to ritualistics or formalities, but we do keep the law within our heart, Christ keeping it for us and fulfilling the law from within our heart as to our thoughts being the means, while accusing or else excusing one another. Then shall not righteousness be imputed unto us? For the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. I brought it out the other night. Why? That we've never sinned against God. God will not impute sin unto us. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. The heart believing unto righteousness. That is to say, Christ is righteousness. And with our lips, the confession unto salvation, in that he is the high priest of that we confess. That a man speaketh cometh from his heart. That means that within the heart is life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the mind is in the heart. The brain is in the head. And the head records as a brain those intellectual things as to the five senses. But anyway, as we were saying a little bit ago, the kingdom of God is here. It is here. Now then, men are pressing their way into the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God. The Jews did not receive this because they did not understand the kingdom of God. They had never known anything like that. In calm, in the spirit, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. When they asked him, will ye, Master, at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He said, my kingdom's not of this world. That is to say that Christ broke forth from the veil and said to them, to the confounding of their understanding, my kingdom is not of the world. He could have said, my kingdom belongs to the Gentile bride. And he said, I come. You didn't receive me as to the Jesus and as to the natural people. But the next time, you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, because you're going to be left desolate. Your physical houses will have no life. The Christ will not dwell in you. And you'll go through such sorrow and heartaches and woe and problems until when I appear with the nail prints, you'll say, blessed is he coming in the name of the Lord. So to kind of find a place here to end my little thought. See, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is a spiritual thing as Christ is spirit. That is the kingdom of God, the fullness. And our spirit, angelic being, as a son of God, is translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, which means my spirit
translated into His great, wonderful Spirit.
See, my life, it's hid within Christ because your life is your spirit.
So my body is buried, not in the flesh, not under condemnation. My angelic being is one way it's dwelling in heaven. You can't know me after the flesh. Not even the Lord Jesus after the flesh. But He's now that quickening Spirit. So, in ending what we're trying to say here, we couldn't go on, but we're going to try to end it right here after the interruption. See, we preach the name of Jesus as the doorway, as to the entrance. You can come in another way. You can climb up another way. That's the part I want to repeat there. Satan didn't want me to get into that. That's why he cut it off all ago. It is something that causes his expulsion. But anyway, you can come in another way, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people are doing it. Through the grace, they're coming in. They are reflectors. It's so close, you can't tell the difference unless you're elect. See, and they're all together. Tares and wheat, they all look alike until the harvest, and you can see what's on the vine, as we said. See, but every plant that my heavenly Father's not planted shall be rooted up. Someone would say, what do you mean by that? Like Jesus said in the parable, and the soul went forth to sow. And then it was said, as to them that went to look, when it sprang up, they said, tares is among your seed. He said, I didn't sow tares. My enemy must have done this while I was asleep. Shall we then pluck them up? No, let them religiously grow together. All of the great crowds of the whole world. Let them stay together. I'll send forth the angels as to the reapers in the last days. They'll cut them down. They'll bind the tares into bundles and throw them into the fire. They will no longer reflect the righteousness of the saints as under the blood to be protected as Judas was as long as he was under that blood covering. It will then be made manifest that all of the religion they had was self-will. It was a self-will, not an unction from the Holy One. And that all of their ambition was as to a fleshly exuberance to be made manifest, to be seen, to lord over, to be acknowledged as some great one, as it was in the days when Paul, I'll rebuke those and smote them with blindness. Ambition of the world, whether it be preached, whether it be laity, church, whether it be people in the world, as to names or whatever it might be, as to their practices. See, but if you climb up another way, and you can through that grace, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, then the sins of the world are taken away. Folks, that's how God came to you and saved you while you were yet in your sins. It's from the foreknowledge of God given to us in Christ. He took away our sins and became our sins in the knowledge of God, or in the understanding of God, and God looking at us through that understanding that He calls foreknowledge. He had thus seen as clean and holy and pure, and not as thieves, not as robbers, not as blasphemers, not as dogs, not as swine. But as His lovely sons, as to the Lamb slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world, as to say the knowledge or the foreknowledge, and to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, proves you to be the body of that Lamb. That is to say, as this mind is in you, then this mind will reveal to you as you grow like a little child developing his mind to the full measure, the full stature, to the full reward. See, in perfection of Christ, Him being your perfection. Then, in this mind will develop and it will reveal to you, reveal to you, reveal to you, reveal to you. You know that little old bitty baby that's kicking its little feet down there? You know, you get down there and you say goo at him and you play with him and kiss his little feet. You know, and he don't know nothing. You say to that little baby, say, hey, did you know you're a little girl? He won't say a thing but just goo. Or you say, do you know your little boy? And you say, goo. That's all he'll do. Because he don't know whether he's a boy or girl. He don't know about boys and girls. So he don't know anything about anything. You can tell him all about things. He doesn't know anything about anything. But as he grows, as he develops, as that mind of Christ in you, as we would say, comes forth, after a while you begin to perceive. And then you are taking on another world. As you come as the little child into this world, allegorically speaking, you begin to learn about this and learn about that and all these other things. And like I said, through the eyes of your understanding, you come to be in a world. See, because a world is a mind. And as to the kingdom of this world within you, the mind of Satan. As to the tree of knowledge, as to the kingdom of God within you, the mind of Christ. See, and like I told my little children riding along one day, I remember he's out on the field, and I said to him, I said, look, you do not understand, you know, that means that because you're still maturing, then you just don't see some of the things that you think you see. Oh, no, Daddy, we see. I said, okay. Okay, let's just put it to the test and see. I said, and then as we went down the road, what is this? As to a cow in the field and the fence and a number of things. I enumerated and they said, yep, that's a cow. That's a fence. And then I turned to something else. And I looked at it and I knew that they did not know what it was. I said, and of course this that we're looking at over here. I said, and that is what? And they said, well, they said, I don't know. I said, well, don't you see it? Oh yeah, we see it. I said, no, you don't. See, you don't see it. The Bible said the eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to comprehend the depths, height. With this world is comprehended, it's through a tutoring, and that's the way it is in God. Folks, there's another world. There's another world. Satan cannot comprehend this life. People that are for this world as intellectual children of darkness, we are translated out of that intellectual kingdom of darkness into the marvelous kingdom of light. God has transferred us over to this by removing the veil, and we are His blessed children of light. Well, we're going to stop right there. There are a lot of things we could say as to detail, but let's just stop right there. Don't climb up another way. Don't be a reflector. You know, because you get into this feast of charity, you get into this atmosphere as to being illuminated like Adam was, but the expulsion, and you're out of it, and then it's required of you as to know. And then it was better that you never known than to come into this, be bound hand and feet, and cast into the outer darkness of the intellectual wilderness of ignorance as to the wrath of God. Let's stand together, sing a little chorus together, and we'll let you go. You're a real good audience. You're trying, and we're trying. Blending together, trying to share a little bit here and there and do what we can makes it difficult. Because every man is to his measure, every person as to their measure of mind, as to desire. Like the ladies, some desire to wear their dresses above their knees, some desire to wear their dresses below their knees, some desire middies, some desire maxes. And that's symbolic of the mind of the church. See, like we had the vision one time, and the Lord spoke to me in this vision, and I looked, and there stood my mother, and she had on a miniskirt, which would not be like my mother. And I looked and I was so alarmed. Something says to me, what is this you've got in your hand? I said, a rod. And he said, say what you will and it'll be done to you. And I said, I want my mother to have a new dress. All of a sudden, it was no longer just a miniskirt, but it was like a midi. I shook myself like that and said, no. I said, I want my mother to have a new dress. And I come down like that. And then I saw her fully clothed with a maxi all the way down. And a sigh of relief, I felt, now this is the way that my mother should look. Folks, where's the Bible said, Paul sent the revelation, and Sarah, the mother of us all, even New Jerusalem, therefore being fully clothed, even as Jesus that has his garment down to his feet, said, I'm the example. Follow after me, the Bible said, in whose mouth was found no guile, who did no sin, though being tempted in every way the same as you and I, yet without sin, that he might be our atonement, our advocate, and our example. All right, so then, with this, all of a sudden, as I sighed a sigh of relief, it began to rain. And my, it rained. And I thought, my, it's just pouring down rain. And I was out in the middle of it. And I said, rain. And then it started raining harder. And I said, rain. And it started raining harder. And then I said, rain, rain, rain. And my, it just flooded. And I thought, what's going on here? And then I heard a voice say, you have the rod in your hand, and when you say it, more rain comes. Every time you say it, you have whatever you say. Jesus said, if thou canst believe in thine heart, not doubt, that whatever you decree in your heart, whatever you say, it shall come to pass. And like when we was coming in off the ship after about 3 days out there, Brother Atlin, different one, coming in that, the Rainbow Inn, you remember this real well, had the vision there. And in this vision,
I was near this rainbow. I was in the Rainbow Inn, and I was near. I'd had a vision on the ship. I spoke about it. It's going to take some more. And then this rainbow bridge was there that had been there for many, many years. And I was standing out between the Rainbow Inn and the bridge, which they're pretty close together. And I started walking. And as I walked, I felt a strange presence of something beside me. And I thought, wow, what is this? It was so powerful. I thought, well, what is this? And I thought, I wish I knew what this is. And I seemed to be conscious of the fact that if I tried to look at it, it would disappear. And I just kind of walking along and walking along. You know, I say something here I don't recommend, but I kind of done it this way. I remember one night walking along, my wife, her dad was real strict, but we was going to marry. And this ain't the way to do it. But we walked along just a little bit right close to the house, and we were just walking along, you know, and holding her hands, and I just took a step, and I thought, uh-huh. When she took a step, I just swung right around, and I had her in my arms and was kissing her. You don't want to do that to practice that. That's not the way to do it. But anyway, she was mine, and the Lord severed it. But she didn't know what happened because I'd done it so quick. But anyway, the way that this thing was, I was just walking along, and it was walking along beside me, and all of a sudden, I'd done the same thing. And of course, if I'm his bride, I got a right to do that. I was walking along, and all of a sudden, that quick, I turned just so quick. And when I did, when I turned, whatever, whoever, all of a sudden, just inside of me, just like that. Like the cloud I saw, the great cloud, which we had time to elaborate on this morning. But into that great cloud, when I looked so high, so exceedingly high, the day was so bright as 10,000 electric lights. I looked and I saw this great, massive cloud and the fire running in and out this cloud. And as I looked up, all of a sudden it was as though an invisible hand pinched off part of it and it popped out like a balloon and started drifting down. And I looked up into the heaven and I was going to pray for somebody as I looked up. And when I did, I saw this and I was fascinated. I thought, well, I've never seen anything like that before. And then it started floating downward. As it started floating downward, the fire began to leave it. As it started, I said, well, my God, it's getting lower and lower. And then it comes so low that I've never seen a cloud like that, other than the fact, you know, clouds do drop down on the earth, but had this ball of cloud in the day like that. And I said, my God, that thing is coming all the way down to earth. And all of a sudden, it came right over my head. And just like a balloon, it just full of air, it had stopped, or full of gas, it stopped over my head. And this was so strange to me. By this time, all of the fire was gone. It was just a cloud. And as I was to admire the cloud, all of a sudden it was like it burst and went on the inside of me. I come out of it and I couldn't understand it. I thought, I can't understand. I can't understand it. What is this? Well, anyway, I heard the Lord speak. And he said, son, remember the pillar of fire by night that was over the tabernacle. I thought, well, I remember that. Symbolizing, well, wish we'd talk about it. But anyway, he said, and by day, I said it was a pillar of cloud. Still over the tabernacle. He said, and you saw the day bright, exceedingly bright, indicating the day. Not a twilight, not a night. And as the cloud over the tabernacle, wasn't it Peter that said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle? And wasn't it said that when the cloud is over the tabernacle, God is in the tabernacle? I thought, my God. You know, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This thing that I tried to see went into me. It went into me before I could see it, which meant that we couldn't see it with our natural eyes, you know. We comprehend it as to the eyes of understanding. But anyway, this went into me as to the cloud. And a lot that we can say about it, even as to a present day thing. Won't go into it. But anyway, here as to that going inside of me, I heard something so clearly say, be careful what you say. I thought, oh my, this is so awesome.
I have to be careful what I say. Because if I say anything,
it'll happen. And I looked at the bridge. I said, even if I say under that bridge, bridge, be gone. Then I said, oh my goodness, I've already spoken. Now it's too late. The bridge is gone. Well, then I come out of the vision.
The Lord willing to confirm that as this great bridge.
Of course, it had great significance as to Revelation. We spoke of it, even the man that operated it, even as the tent meeting that we had nearby. But anyway, great is the mystery of the Revelation. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries. So, wasn't but a little while after that, and all of a sudden the bridge was gone. They actually tore the bridge down after all the years and put a great concrete bridge, a beautiful thing, spanning all the way over for miles over that thing. The bridge was taken away. So, folks, I said all that to say this. We're living in the kingdom age. We're living in that time. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Just whatever you say, don't doubt. And Jesus said, whatever you say, you can have it. Let's give the Lord. All right, let's sing a little chorus together just before we dismiss and we'll let you go. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sing that with me. Burn my soul. For my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bound over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Evermore I need thee, Lord. I need thee. The altars are open. Every hour I need thee. I need precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. Once again, so let Jesus sin to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to my Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away.
Let's sing this little chorus.
All the things that I have and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Can you sing that? Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, oh Lord. Can you sing that with me? Roll back the curtain off memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, and humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hand, but he walked the road to Calvary to die in my stead. So remind me, Lord. Sing that with me now. Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm and humans forget. So remind me, oh Lord. Let's lift our hands together and close our eyes. And I will praise him, my can you praise the Lord this morning? You know the Lord. And I'll yield glory on him. Oh, his blood has washed away every stain. Once again. And I will. I'm going to ask Brother Philip from over in Mississippi if you'll come and dismiss us this morning. Don't forget the service tonight. You're supposed to have communion. Don't forget the dinner that they're having right after service. We've got some real good things to eat. Have a chance to get together and praise the Lord. While Philip's coming, let's sing that.
Oh, his blood has washed away.
One more time together.
And on.